Hi there, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. It's your show, so we say Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani, and we have the show team, Michael, Matt, and Jeff in place today, doing their usual great job to make this show what it is, along with you, the Take Two family. It's your takes, your lived experiences, your wisdom, your insights, your inspiration that lead the way and edify all of us. So get ready to call in because we've got a topic that a lot of you will be able to relate to. Right, Debbie?
Absolutely. What attracted you to parish ministry? Okay, you jumped into ministry. Something had to draw you in. Something had to make you want to be a part of the ministry efforts at your parish community. What attracted you to parish ministry? Did you think it would be something fun? Did you think it would be something challenging, interesting, help you grow in your own faith? Did you feel it was part of your baptismal call? What attracted you to parish ministry? What drew you into ministry? And then maybe it has kept you there for many years, right? Because we always call it the ministry bug. You catch the ministry bug, you can really never leave it because you just are totally attracted to it, and you stay stuck to ministry because it feels right. Right? As a Catholic Christian. So what attracted you to ministry? We want to hear from you at 833-288-3986. What drew you into ministry, Jerry?
Well, I would have to say, as I was having my reversion to the faith, I was baptized at 23 days of age, so I'm what they call a cradle Catholic, but didn't have much use for God and the church in my teens and early 20s until His grace got a hold of me, and I met some people who were really on fire for the Lord, and we started meeting. They were already meeting, and I would join them for prayer meetings and things like that. And just as I continue to grow in that excitement, that enthusiasm, that honeymoon feeling, you know, I think it was just natural for me to look at the church and say, well, where might I fit in? Where might I be able to help? So, I'm sure it was a combination of reasons, but it just seemed to be kind of a natural progression for me as I got closer to God, praying more. I was going to daily mass, and all of a sudden I thought, maybe I should be helping out in some way. So that's how it worked out for me.
I love that. So what you heard from Jerry, that's what attracted him to ministry. His reversion is coming into the faith and understanding that he wanted to serve and serve others. Yep, absolutely. We want to hear what attracted you to parish ministry at 833-288-3986. And Jerry, I've told this story many times. I'll tell it again real quickly. I was in the hospitality industry. I was a hotel manager, and I was very young, and I was kind of on the, they were kind of getting me ready to take higher and higher positions in the, I was actually quite good at it, I have to say. I really loved working with the teams, and I loved serving people in restaurants and hotels. I love that. There's, acts of service, beautiful way to serve other people, make them happy when they're dining or when they're staying at the hotel. But I was, I just felt very unfulfilled. It was a Saturday night, super busy. We had a ton of people coming into the hotel, and I was just super, super, I felt empty. And I went into my office. There was no windows in my office. I shut the door, and it was about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday night. And I said, I'm going to call the parish. And if somebody answers, now really folks, who answers on a 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday? I don't think anybody, it would go to voicemail or go to the machine. And, I called and I said, if somebody answers, then I'm going to do something for the church. And Marie, the director of religious education, answered, and she says, I just happened to be here, and I went by the phone and I picked it up instead of letting it go to the machine. And she said, we've got a perfect position for you. Would you like to teach junior high? And I thought, ooh, junior high, no. And I said, okay, I'll do it, because I said to God, if somebody answers the phone, and I've never left religious education really since. That was over 30 years ago.
Fascinating story. Mm-hmm. So what about you, Take Two family? First of all, are you involved in a ministry of some kind? It doesn't have to be one of the real visible ones like, reading at Mass or Extraordinary Minister of Holy Communion. It could be a ministry to the homebound. Maybe you're part of a food pantry. We've got an amazing food pantry at our parish. So if you're involved in ministry, what was it that kind of gave you that final nudge to go ahead and get involved and talk about maybe a little bit about how fulfilling it is for you and what keeps you involved after, as Debbie said, maybe many years, maybe you haven't been doing it that long. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Matt Gubensky is waiting for your call right now.
And let's flip it the other way. You know, we're talking about all the positives that, kind of bring you in, and you get, you just love the fact that you're part of a parish ministry. Maybe, just maybe, you were burnt out on ministry. Okay, maybe you went into ministry and it's not what you expected, or you encountered people in the parish community and they just weren't representing Christ very well. And you want to talk about that, because let's talk about how you can enter into ministry again in a whole new way. I used to be a volunteer coordinator for the parishes, and I love to place people in ministry based on their skills and their desires, not just saying, okay, we have an opening here, we'll put Jerry there, we'll put Debbie here. No, really, to let them, you know, journey and grow, and it's just a beautiful thing when ministry works for all parties. It really is wonderful to see it flourish like that. You see a lot of souls grow in ministry, Jerry.
Indeed, indeed. And Matt Gubensky, again, is waiting for your call. We have a couple people screened already, and the number for you to get on board in this interesting and I think what will be an inspiring conversation, 833-288-3986. What drew you into ministry? What is fulfilling? Or maybe as Debbie said, maybe you've kind of had your fill for a while and recently stepped out of ministry. Nothing wrong with that. It happens all the time. Other ways you can get a hold of us, you can email take2@ewtn.com. If you're watching either of the video streams on Facebook or YouTube, we're waving at you there. You can post your comments, and our social media manager, Jeff Burson, will get those over to us. You can text the letters EWTN to 55000. Might be a small data rate, but just wait for the response and put in your first name and your comments. And you can post at the show website, take2show.com. A lot of ways to get hold of us.
And I just want to say a big shout out to the Station of the Cross listeners and supporters. You're in the second day of your fall appeal, and there was a nationwide phone outage, and you guys are doing so great, pledging away online and trying to make a connection by phone. So if you're listening in that area, please pledge during this hour. You got to multitask. Listen to this wonderful show and pledge. And if your local station comes to you, pledge, because we need Catholic radio now more than ever. What attracted you to parish ministry? That's what we're talking today on Take Two.
Great to have you with us here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio as we talk about what drew you into parish ministry, if indeed you have been involved in that. Talk a little bit about the ministry that you are a part of, how that is kind of life-giving for you and the fruits that you see from that ministry in the lives of other people. 833-288-3986. And a very coincidental or providential timing that we wanted to let you know also today about media missionaries. You can be involved in ministry of sorts with EWTN as a missionary, media missionary, and prayerfully take EWTN to parishes and the community through the print and electronic ministry that electronic media that we provide. You can help EWTN share the good news by becoming a media missionary. Just visit EWTNmissionaries.com today and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
I love the media missionaries. Love them. You guys do great work. We have a couple open phone lines, so if you would like to share what brought you into parish ministry life, we would like to hear your experience of ministry work. If you're still in it, maybe you were a bit burnt out by ministry and you stepped away, but you're thinking of going back in. You want to ask us some questions. We're here to help, because I've spent many, many years placing people in ministries that work for them. So we're here to help you get along that journey, you know, and to serve and to give back and to really grow your faith, because you can expand your faith through ministry. And that's the beauty of it. 833-288-3986. And Jerry, shall we go to the phones?
Let's do that. We've got Stand Tall Nancy in Spencer, Massachusetts, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hello, our friend, Sister Nancy. How are you?
Oh, Jerry and Debbie, I haven't talked with you for a while.
Right.
It's great to talk with you.
Likewise. And
thank you, Nancy.
The only thing I have to say is that I was led by a priest to paint the statue of the Blessed Mother in my church. I had never painted anything in my life. And he says, I can't pay you an awful lot. I said, because I'm a two-time cancer survivor, I'm going to paint them for nothing at my cost. And I wound up by painting all the statues in the church. And I'm still doing that ministry today with other people.
That is fantastic.
In addition to your poetry, right, Nancy?
Yes,
in addition to my poetry.
Mm-hmm. Nancy is an incredible poet, dear Take Two family. I wish everyone was able to see some of her works. But what a beautiful ministry that is, Nancy. Because over time, sometimes the statues and artwork and so forth in our churches can get a little bit run down, a little bit in need of a spruce up. And
facelift, yeah.
Facelift, yeah. And I have no doubt, you can comment on this if you want, but I have no doubt you are in prayer as you're doing this. Offering this to God, you know, from your beautiful, loving heart. And I also like the fact that it was the priest who asked you, because my pastor always says when we're looking for help in ministry in the parish, he says, let me ask. They can't turn this down. And he points to his white collar. You know, he says, they can't turn this down. So bless you, Nancy.
I do have a comment to say that while I was painting the Blessed Mother, I felt her embrace, literally.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, Nancy, that is amazing. You know, and I was gonna share that about the intimacy of using your creative talents when you are doing something for the church. And you just, that's interesting that you said that, Nancy, and I could really feel the Holy Spirit in that. You know, that's the beauty of our church buildings, the house of God. When we become part of it and invested in it some way, and we give of our time, of our talent, and of our treasure, we become connected in a whole new level. Nancy, I think you summed that up beautifully. Wow, and she felt our Holy Mother's embrace. Beautiful.
Yeah, and that's an example of one of the ministries I was saying that aren't necessarily in eyesight of everybody. You know, you're sort of working behind the scenes at times when most people aren't in the church. And it reminds me of our beautiful little, the lady who cleans our church. I'll walk into the church office sometimes to do something during the day, and I see her car there, and maybe I'll just walk down the hall and say hi. And she's just, you know, Debbie, so diligent and lovingly cleaning the church. And it just shows that, you know, she has such a deep love of God, as do all people who kind of do so many of these things behind the scenes.
Well, you make a really good point, because I oftentimes, when I go into a church and I see the art and environment, and you see the liturgical colors or the flowers or any type of, kind of visual idea of what's happening at that moment in the liturgical year, I always think of the fine folks that come after hours at 9 o'clock at night, and they're dusting off the flowers, putting them out, or putting fresh flowers out, or ironing, you know, the altar cloths and linens and everything. My grandmother used to do that. She used to iron for the church all the altar and the vestments and everything. I mean, it's amazing. And you think about all that. There's a lot of work behind the scenes that folks are doing. Why? Because they care about God and they care about other souls and they want to give back to God. And I think we should remember those fine folks that don't get to be out in front, you know, in religious education or being a lector or an usher or a greeter or something of that nature. These are fine folks that are keeping everything looking beautiful behind the scenes.
All right, what drew you into parish ministry? What keeps you in it? Maybe you, as we said, you know, did it for a number of years, and like so many people, it can be grueling, it can be a grind over a number of years, so maybe you've taken a little respite from that, but we'd love to hear from you at 833-288-3986. Back to the calls. Jeanette is in Illinois listening on WSFI. Hello, Jeanette. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Gary and Gibby.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Yes, I was excited by your t- topic today because I have a story for you. I'm currently running our food pantry at the parish. And how I got into this ministry was totally unexpected and something I never would have even thought of. How the beginning of it was a small group of us, three or four of us, went down to visit a priest that had been part of our parish that was in a nursing home for like a little prayer session. And during that session, they passed around little inspirational type messages that were supposed to be meant for us. Every one of the messages that I got revolved around, I have a ministry for you that's your choice. I'll support you in whatever your decision is. It'll be sometime in the next year. Those types of messages were the messages I received that evening. And I was taken aback with that, and everybody said, relax, you have a year. Well, the next day, in my parish bulletin, and I'm sure a lot of you and your listeners have had the experience, you know, you're reading scripture or something just leaps out at the page at you, you know that's meant for you. Well, this is what happened. There was an article in the bulletin that the food pantry coordinators, due to health reasons, were having to step down, and they were looking for another food pantry coordinator, and that just leapt off the page at me. So I responded to it and contacted, and they mentored me over for about 6 months before they turned the pantry over to me totally and retired. And I've been doing that now for 4 or 5 years, and it's just been so rewarding to meet people and to help them. And what can I say? it's just awesome to be able to do that.
Well, yeah, and you said, Jeanette, what can I say? And that's true. I mean, there are no words to describe the dedication that you have and the other members of your team at the food pantry.
Right.
And I know that because I help out with religious education in my parish, and we share a hall with a very, I'd say, burgeoning food pantry. We get food by the pallet loads and so forth, and I see these men and women, usually on Monday or Tuesday. They give out the food on Tuesday. Monday, the truck might come in, and they're lifting heavy boxes and having to put stuff in order and rotate the stock and just do all of this stuff to make the food bags ready for the people, you know. So I know what a difficult, but also I'm sure very rewarding ministry that must be for you. Debbie, I don't know if you have any thoughts.
I think there are special gifts given to those that are able to do that ministry. I wanted to share that because, Jeanette, not everybody is able to do it for various reasons. And those that step in to help those in need, and to, like you said, Jerry, lifting those boxes and being there for hours and constantly serving others, that's a beautiful that's a beautiful quality you have, Jeanette, and it shows a lot of how you care about others and being Christ to others and living out your faith. So God bless you. You're a beautiful woman, and I think it's wonderful. You know, here's the funny thing about, we had a food pantry too associated with the parish that I worked at, and folks would say to me all the time, you know, I want to do that, but I'm actually better at being like, you know, a greeter at church. And see, ministry is ministry. You're serving, you're helping, you're building the kingdom. Okay. And so people use their gifts and talents in various ways, and you're using yours beautifully, Jeanette. So thank you.
Well, it's a gift that was given to me. And like you said, the ability to do that is also given to me.
That's
because
right.
I'm in very excellent health, and I believe truly the only reason that I am, because I'm not certainly not doing anything to sustain it, is his gift. He's given me the good health to be able to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Amen to that.
Absolutely. It is well known in the spiritual life that God will equip those he calls for ministry with the gifts and tools and talents that is necessary for that particular vocation and ministry. So you're right on, Jeanette. Thanks so much for the call.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you, Jeanette. God bless you. Okay, where are we going next? I have the book out. And by the way, everybody that's called in, Nancy and Jeanette, and we're going to get to John and Sally and the others, I'm putting you all in the prayer book because I want to make sure you have enough prayers behind you to continue, like Jeanette was saying, to stay strong and to continue your ministry efforts.
Okay, as you said, John in Toledo, Ohio, listening on Annunciation Radio today. Welcome to Take Two, John. How are you?
Oh, thank you. It's good to talk to you. I wanted to tell you about my story about getting involved at church. For many years, I hadn't been very involved at my parish. I was going to Sunday Mass, and that was pretty much it. And then all of a sudden, I had a neighbor move in next to me, and he was going to Lutheran church. And he said to me one day, he said, "Are you a churchgoer?" And I said, "Yeah, I go to Catholic church." He says, "Oh." He says, "Well, you're welcome to come to my church." And I thought, "No, that's okay. I'm fine at Catholic church." But anyway, he inspired me to join his Bible study, which I did. I went to a few sessions of his Bible study, and I was really inspired that he was so, you know, he was so joyous about being in the church, active in his church. So a few months later in my parish bulletin, I noticed there was a notice that they needed lectors. And I thought, you know, I think the Holy Spirit is calling me. So I signed up to be a lector at my parish. And I was amazed. Before I started my first lecturing at my first Mass, I was very nervous. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get up there in front of all those people, and I'm probably going to faint from nervousness. But the fact is, at my very first Mass, I walked into the sanctuary, and I thought I was walking into heaven. I had the most peaceful feeling come over me. And I thought, this must be the Holy Spirit that's telling me to get more involved. And so that's how I got involved in being a lector, and I really enjoyed it for many, many years. And even though I'm in Toledo, at that time I was living in the Philadelphia area, and I moved back to Toledo after I retired. And the parish I'm in now, we've just got a new pastor, and he's starting so many exciting new things. And he just started a Eucharistic adoration program, which I'm very excited about. So it's like, the more you get involved, the more peace comes over you. Mm-hmm. And I recommend it. I recommend it totally.
Beautiful, John. Beautiful. Debbie talks about the ministry bug, and she says all the time, once you have caught that bug, it just really never leaves you. And it sounds like you have been led in a lot of beautiful directions by the Lord to be involved in the things that you're doing. And I was smiling inside, you know, when you were talking about the first time that you were a lector and how you were a little bit nervous, thought you were going to pass out up there at the lectern. It's what people probably don't know about me is I read at my parish, I still have that little bit of butterfly anxiety, you know, in my stomach, because, you know, you're going up there and you want to proclaim the word and you want to do it reverently and in a way that people can hear it and understand it and then it's going to penetrate their hearts. So it's really a lofty ministry in the church, that of lecturing. And I just really congratulate you, John, for doing that. What do you think, Deb?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, John, I totally agree with what Jerry said. My sister is a lector for many years. Both my sisters actually are lectors, and my sister's a lector coordinator. And so she loves reading the word, proclaiming the word. She loves that. And John, you have a great voice, very strong voice, and I think that's wonderful. So you're using your gifts, I believe, in the right place. And see, that's what happens. When ministry works in the heart and the soul of others, you flourish. You know, you thrive. It really makes you come alive in a new way. And that's beautiful, John. God bless you. Keep spreading that to others, because sometimes I will tell you, sometimes people think ministry is, ugh, do I have to put up tables, take down chairs? Do I have to clean up garbage? No, ministry is much more than that. Right, John?
True. It's very true. It's a great way to meet other parishioners too, and a great way to make friends. So mm-hmm. You're sitting back, not getting involved. It's a great way to meet the other parishioners.
Thanks, John, for that inspiration, that inspiring phone call. A lot of people listening will probably consider becoming involved in ministry in their parish. That's John in Toledo. And we'll go to Sally in Eugene, Oregon, when we come back here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. What drew you into parish ministry? You can participate in our conversation today about what drew you, what keeps you in parish ministry. The phone number is 833-288-3986. You can call that number and get on the program if you would like. There's also a number for outside of North America, and that's 1-205 877-271-2985. And of course, email, the video channels, and the show website as well. So nothing keeping you from wherever you are from getting involved in the program today. That's what I'm trying
to say. You can't suggest things to me. I'm easily influenced. You said a couple shows ago, you said something about you choke sometimes on water.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember you saying that? Now I start choking on water now. What is the matter with me? I'm so easily influenced. Power of suggestion.
I guess so, yeah.
I know, that's terrible. Now I can't even drink water anymore. Okay, we're going back to the phones. See, folks, this is how we are off air. I mean, this is it. This is it. This is what we offer. But you guys seem to like us, so we're going to stick around. Okay, Sally in Eugene, Oregon, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Sally. Thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Hello. I can't believe I called in. That's not my
it's not
my
your thing.
MO.
Yeah. We're happy you did.
When I was about 22 or 23, there was a need for Eucharistic ministers to the homebound, and it just struck a chord in me. And I started then, and I am now 64 and still taking communion to the homebound. I've done lots of other ministries, but that has been the one that has never left me.
Sally, thank you for calling in. I have to tell you something. Those that visit the homebound and carry their picks and bring the body, blood, soul, and divinity to our wonderful faithful to receive, you guys are the most reverent. You understand what it means that what you are doing. You have such a devotion to the Eucharist. I love those who are in the ministry of bringing Holy Communion to those that are in the hospitals or homebound. And you're saying you've done it for 42 years. God bless you. I pray that many blessings, I mean this, Sally, many blessings are poured out from heaven on you here and for eternity. Because you have no idea the impact you have on people. I do, because I saw it with my dad. I saw it with my mom. I saw it when my pastor allowed me to take communion to others who were homebound. And it is the most incredible experience. And it is so deep. It is beyond words. And I'm sure you can attest to that, Sally, because you've been doing it for 42 years.
Yeah, the people that God has brought into my life and just the deep love for our Lord that he visits us when we're in most need. I can't thank him enough.
Yeah, you're right. Taking Jesus to those who are most in need. I would just invite everyone who's listening right now, because of your call, Sally, let us, each one of us, just try sometime today, imagining what it's like to not be able to go to Mass, you know, to be infirm, to be homebound, to have any other circumstances where we have to have the Eucharist brought to us, and how many people go without that gift weekly or daily or for a long time. Let us just ponder that for a minute and realize the great gift that we have. I used to take communion to the homebound as well, Sally, when I lived in Portland, Oregon, actually. And those receiving it are so reverent and thankful. Yeah, I was a member of the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Portland.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so.
Beautiful church.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, keep getting those blessings that God is pouring out on you, Sally. We know that's going to happen. And we'll keep you in our prayers, okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless you, too.
Beautiful call. I'm so glad you stepped up and called us, Sally. Call us again, okay? Thank you. Beautiful.
Yes. Thank you, Sally. We get a lot of calls like that, though, Debbie, people who just, like you say, feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's not really their nature to call radio shows and go on the air and do things like that. But you and I appreciate those calls so much, because people are kind of maybe taking a little bit of a step out of their comfort zone. But what they have to share all the time is just, it just blows you away. You know, the beautiful stories that they have to share.
And we're interested. We're very curious. Mm-hmm. We want to grow. We want to learn. So we really are doing this because we want to help ourselves along that journey, and we want to help those growing and going with us, right? That's why we call it the Take Two family. So we really are interested. So please, you know, be like Sally and call us. We're very friendly, or we think we're friendly. We haven't had anybody tell us. Have we had anybody say that we were rude or anything? I don't think we ever have. Have
I don't
we?
Think so. It, no, if they did, I have forgotten about it.
Yeah, I don't think you could ever be rude. You're so nice.
Oh,
you
yeah.
really are. You're very, you're a lot nicer than I am.
you know me off the air too, Debbie. So you know you might want to think about saying something like that.
You're very kind. Okay, so Lori is up next in Colorado, listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Lori. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hi. Good morning, Jerry and Debbie. Thank you.
You're welcome. Go
so,
right ahead.
Yes, yeah. Music has my heart right now. As a kid, in high school, I was a lector and in the church choir. I took about a 20-year break kind of getting through life, but I've been back in the music ministry now for about the last 15 years. I'm pushing 50. So I've been playing piano and singing, and it just, when I can put myself aside and realize that I am actually in the presence of the creator of the universe and his angels, I just get the most amazing, like, inner core feeling, like, energized. And I believe that comes from the Holy Spirit. That is, when I put myself aside, to be sure, we need to remember that it's not about us, it's about Jesus. But for the music ministry, those who sing pray twice, I'm told, so that's always good.
Right. And, you probably pray three times because you're playing an instrument at the same time. You're playing you're playing the piano, right?
I'll take that.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Lori. That's cool. That's cool. But Lori, talk about this for a minute. When you said you're in the presence, you know, of our God and the angels and all the faithful, you're in the presence, and it is so true. But Lori, you're using your gifts and talents, and it's such an incredible. The good word I like to think of is this intimacy of really connecting as heaven and earth meet in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and you have the music ministers that are stepping up and using their talents, using their voices, using their ability to play instruments, and it just enters into a deeper mystery of that beautiful praying the Mass. And I can relate on a much lesser level, Lori. I was in the choir for many years at the church, and sometimes I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. I didn't even feel like it was me singing. Like, I opened my mouth and I was like, where did that come from? It was the strangest thing. And it's interesting because sometimes people think, well, the music ministers, they're used to performing. It is not a performance at all. It really truly is giving of your heart and giving of your talents and your abilities to really glorify God. Wouldn't you agree, Lori?
Oh, 100%. There are two key words that you said there. Outer body, that's a great way to put it. The outer body and the inner energy. Mm-hmm. And part two is that it is not a performance. Sometimes after Mass, people will clap. And, you know, none of us, you know, turn to receive their praise because it's not a performance. They don't realize it's not necessarily appropriate to do that. We're not on a stage show. But it brightens other people's hearts and to the point that they're just so inspired, they feel like they have to thank us in some way. You know, people don't clap after the liturgy of the word. So we just need to remember that this is part of where we are in the presence of the Most High God. And speaking of that, I just want to encourage my fellow ministers to remember that, to please dress reverently and modestly, that, again, we are in the presence of God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus dwells in the tabernacle. The angels are present at Mass. We pray, I believe it's in Eucharistic prayer number one, that God will allow his angel to take our offerings to the presence of God. And So there's so much going on that we can't even see. It's just incredible. So, yes, please, fellow minister, set a good example for the children in the parish, for the youth, even for, you know, us older folks that we're not going to a picnic. You know, we would dress appropriately for, you know, for different other things in our lives. And to please remember, this is the most important event in our lives. We are literally going to heaven on earth. And I just want to thank my other ministers. And I appreciate your prayers. Thank you for adding me to the prayer book. There's been some health issues physically and neurologically that I kind of had to give up the keys for a little while, hoping I'd get that back, but still love to be a part of the music ministry. And I want to thank you guys for what you do.
Oh, thank you, Lori. It means a lot to us, and we will definitely pray. I saw Debbie starting to write in the prayer book as you were asking for those prayers, so be assured that they'll go up from all of us here at EWTN and the entire Take-Two family. And just a quick closing comment, I just want to thank you for, you have obviously done a lot of study, research. I don't know if you took courses, you know, theological courses or anything, but on liturgical music, but just the way you're presenting it, the way you understand that it's a meeting between heaven and earth and the need to be addressed, you know, appropriately, and how the music, you know, really lifts us up into the presence of God. You know, you're articulate about that. And so just thank you for that, because you take it very, very seriously. And I'm sure the music in your parish is just awesome.
Thank you, Jerry. That comes from the Holy Spirit. I have not had official teachings. It comes from daily mass, daily communicant, actually listening to every word of all of the prayers of the liturgy of the Eucharist, and then looking through just the hymnal. You know, we've got our Eucharistic prayers 1 through 4 listed there, and it's been years. And also, God bless Mother Angelica. I can't wait for her to become a saint, because over the last several years, just constantly kind of self-cloistering myself, wanting to be away more and more from the world and tuning in to everything I can, EWTN, has been life-changing, like a 180. And it's all thanks to what she started and the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely,
definitely.
Lori. We couldn't agree more. Lori, we put you in the book. We're going to be praying for you. We'll be praying rosaries and going to adoration and mass. And so keep us posted, okay, how things are healing and progressing in your favor, okay?
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Jerry. God bless you both.
God bless you, Lori. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
That was a beautiful call. She's using her talents, and that is wonderful. We need that. Real quickly, well, not real quickly. I just want to mention this. I want to get back to the phones real quickly, but I have to mention this because I was listening to Women of Grace right before we started the show. Just, I love Johnette Williams. She does such a great job. But Women of Grace, if you missed it today, Women of Grace is later tonight at 3 a.m. Eastern time. And Johnette shows you how to embrace the Catholic life with joy and peace. And why do we mention that it replays at 3 a.m.? Because if you're like me, you're up at 3 a.m. So turn on Johnette and you'll learn something and grow, and you'll be filled with that joy and peace. She has such a soothing voice, and yeah, she can comfort with the show during the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Couple of social media comments, and then we'll get back to the calls. We are streaming the video on YouTube and Facebook. Michael P. is watching on YouTube. He says, I got my start in parish ministry as an altar server while I was in high school as part of a service project in preparation for confirmation. Now, a lot of people would stop right there once they get confirmed, but Michael says, I have been in ministry ever since. So God bless you, and praised be God for that. Robert, watching on Facebook, says, for me, I know it was the Holy Spirit. I was sitting at my desk when all of a sudden I stood up and said to myself, I have to call the parish and volunteer to be a CCE teacher. I never even thought about doing it before, and suddenly I'm calling to volunteer. Come to find out, one of the teachers dropped out, and I filled in within 10 minutes. That was the start of many ministries that eventually led me to discern the diaconate.
Wow. Robert, you know, that's kind of similar that I was talking about, Robert, but yours is to the diaconate, but mine, I went on for my master's degree in theology because of the ministry work in religious education. So isn't that interesting how it unfolds like that?
Yeah, that's another beautiful point about being involved in church ministry. If you're a single person, as I was when I started to get involved in my parish, there was like this natural, it seemed like a natural progression, if you will. I got involved in this ministry and then this one and a couple others. My prayer life was deepening and I was still single and I thought, you know, maybe I'll look into the priesthood. And so that led to my spending 6 years in formation for the priesthood, which were really six of the best years of my life. I did not get ordained, but I just thank God for that time in our lives. And obviously, Debbie, getting kids involved, as you know, as altar servers, so very, very important, giving the young men a glimpse of holy, reverent priests celebrating Mass, mm-hmm. and the young ladies hopefully encouraging them to consider a religious vocation.
Yeah. What about Knights of Columbus? You're a fourth degree knight. Mm-hmm. Marty, my husband's a fourth degree knight. I love the Knights of Columbus. Great work they do. Maybe join the Knights of Columbus. I mean, you know, and do some service work, which is wonderful. Yeah, that's spot on, Jerry.
Well, we're the knights in my parish are the ushers at the masses.
Oh, wow. Are they in their regalia? No.
No. We have Knights of Columbus shirts on. Yeah.
Oh, you do? Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, cool. That has a logo?
I just feel like I was born to be an usher.
Okay, that was a joke. I just caught that. I was a little slow for a second, and then I just... Isn't that hilarious? That's really funny. Okay. Did everybody laugh? If you giggled, that's what we wanted you to do today, because Jerry's last name is Usher. Ha, ha, ha. Okay, George in San Antonio, Texas, at Guadalupe Radio Network is the way you're listening. Hope you found that funny, George.
Uh-huh, I sure did. I got it.
Welcome, George.
Whatever you do unto me, to the least of my people. And that's what serving is all about, you know, doing it for the Lord. And my kids, they're fourth generation helping out at church. And I'm third, and my parents were second, and my grandma was first generation before the Second Vatican meeting. And just like your mom used to iron everything for the church, so did my grandma. And then my mom and dad were lectors and ministers. And then, like, out of all of us, there's five kids. We, on Saturdays, we get up, right, after... Even on Sundays, any day really. So where are we going? We're gonna go get some ice cream? No, we went with my mom to go do some chores for the people that were less that couldn't get around. And that's what I do. I'm homebound, and RCIA with the Knights of Columbus, and behind the scenes Guadalupano, and my kids are Guadalupanos and Guadalupanas and youth group and helping out at their church also and lectors. And but what I'll say is like. These people that are homebound, they're older, and they don't have nobody to take them to the store or anything. So just like St. Vincent de Paul, he used to go care for everybody. You know, he donated his time. And that's what we got to do, too, donate our time that needs someone. You know, people need time, and you go over there and help them. Go to the stores, the bank for them, take them to barbershops, and et cetera. You know, they need somebody, and they don't have anyone. And then this one person, I'm from St. Anne's Church. He goes, George, I'm so glad I found St. Anne's. I said, really? Why are you so happy? He goes, because I got one foot at St. Anne's and the other foot is in heaven. I said, mm-hmm. Oh, man, these people are so fantastic. They're in their 80s and stuff, and you go meet them, and they tell you their stories of their lives, and it's so gratifying and encouraging, and then how God helped them along the way. You know, it's beautiful, but people used you see people and I don't got time for them. I'm too much into their own lives, you know, but it's sad at the same time because you catch them toward the end of their lives and then they're gone and stuff. And that's the hard part about it. But besides that, I'm going to call back again when you talk about angels again. I was trying to get on last time because I got two fantastic angel stories for y'all. But we got to be out there and help out everyone we can and anybody we can because there's a lot of people that need help, especially during the pandemic times. Mm-hmm. You know, for the Knights of Columbus, before pandemic times, I would raise about $5,500 a year. Now with the pandemic times, like $3,600 gone down. And I'm still working. I'm past retirement age, but my money goes to different priests and it goes to different nuns, orders of nuns, and it goes to seminarians and it goes for our own ministry, the Way Home Ministry. I already called you all about it before. We house over 100 people in different houses throughout the city. And right now we got freezers full of food. We're going to go distribute it out to them so they can have something to eat.
Beautiful.
And so that's our story in San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story, George. Your kids are fourth generation serving in the church in some form of ministry. And there's no question, you know, what I was saying before about maybe vocations can be inspired in our younger people, but it can work in reverse as well. You know, because in my parish, we have, actually we had a deacon and his son became a priest in the diocese. And we also have a seminarian in our parish. And I think it was largely because of him discerning to go to the seminary that now his dad, actually his parents, they go through it together. They're in permanent diaconate formation. See, so it's worked father to son, and then son to father, and his mother along with that. So, yeah, so many people can be impacted positively, Debbie, and for the glory mm-hmm. of God and the salvation of souls.
Absolutely. And joy, George, I love the joy that's just coming from your voice. You said being retired, you have such a youthful voice, and it's alive, and you can hear it, and you really love your faith. You can tell you're dedicated to your family. I love that, George. And I do want you to share your stories about angels. We're going to be doing more of that. And just a heads up, hopefully in November, I talked to Adam Bly, religious demonologist, and we are going to put on a presentation of angels and demons on standtalltoday.com. So keep checking that website every once in a while, standtalltoday.com, and we're going to be talking angels and demons, and people can share their stories. So, George, we look forward to that, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Debbie, I'm still working. I should retire already, but I'm still working for everybody.
Oh, right. Did you say your retirement age?
Yes, I'm past retirement age.
Wow, but you sound like a teenager. Do people tell you that?
Yeah, I wear shoes. Otherwise, you think I was a teenager when I'm barefooted.
You got a great voice, George.
Yeah, indeed. God bless you, George. Hey, thanks for the call.
You all too. Every time I listen to you, I feel like a millionaire. So keep on talking.
Okay. All right. Well, you share some of that money with us when you become a millionaire, okay?
Yeah, really.
We're going to go to another caller in San Antonio real quick. We got time for Johnny in San Antonio listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Johnny. Got about 2 minutes, so go for it.
Oh, well, really, really quick. Actually, I met you guys here when you guys were in San Antonio. So I'm Johnny,
right.
And my wife was Rita.
Oh,
we
yes. Hi, Johnny.
Each other for half. How you doing?
Yeah.
It's been a while.
How are you? Yes.
Very good, very good. I just went to share.
Really involved with the youth and stuff.
We lost you a little bit, Johnny.
I got into there, but it's actually right. My daughter, she was in the progress.
Johnny, I don't know if you can hear me or not.
And she didn't want to attend anymore because it was too boring.
Sounds like he.
So I said, well, then I'll make a deal with you. It says that if I volunteer for this year, I'll assist whoever it is, and I'll ask to be placed in your class, and I'll go with you. She reluctantly said, okay. So was assisting one of our deacons, and halfway through, our deacon was involved with baptism classes as well. So once every Sunday, he would do the classes, and I would take over the class. So after the half of the year, he says, Johnny, I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to step down.
Yeah, Johnny, I don't know if Johnny can hear us at all right now, but it's unfortunate because he was going to share about how he got involved on a dare. It was the only way to get his daughter to go to religious education was on a dare that he got. Johnny, I apologize. We were getting you perfectly at first, then all of a sudden it just sounded like you were in a tin can, you know, about 100 feet away or something. So we'd love to hear back from you on the program anytime. We apologize, but I don't know what happened with the phone there. Weird things happen.
It was really strange, Johnny, but email us. We'd love to hear that story. I want to hear how the story ends with your daughter and religious education. Email us at take2@ewtn.com. That was a great call. I wanted to hear the ending. I like hearing the endings, especially when dads or moms step up for ministry and then how the kids respond. I love hearing that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do we have time for, real quickly, Nina, like for 30 seconds?
Mm, I No? I would say probably not, just because Nina, we're going to hear the closing music in 15 seconds.
Oh, we are. Okay. So, Nina, we're going to read your comment in Indianapolis, Indiana, Sirius XM 130. You said you went from not thinking about being singing and being a cantor, and then it was one practice, and you were hooked. So you are probably a great cantor, Nina. Thank you so very much. And you're right. That's what happens. That's the ministry bug we're talking about. Jason, we're not going to get to you in Tennessee. You're talking about Life Teen is a great ministry. I totally agree, Jason. I come from the parish which was the founding home of Life Teen. So I totally agree with that. That's where Matt Maher and Tom Booth and Tim Smith, they all were music ministers at the Life Teen ministry.
Great job, Take Two family, the show team, Michael, Jeff, and Matt. Affiliates, thank you for carrying the program. Tomorrow, why do you think reality TV is so popular? Is it really reality, or is it make-believe? Is it highly produced? We're going to talk with you about that tomorrow. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. St. Joseph, please pray for us. Amen.